Is that you put off the bed?
I'm Laurel.
And I'm Janelle, and you're listening to the Foot Off the Bed podcast, episode 32. Happy Halloween! I am so excited. But by the time that we record this, it's not Halloween. So you're going to hear in November how our Halloween went. maybe I'll release it early if... Let me think. Yeah, maybe I'll release it early for Patreon so that they can hear it before then. The next episode, I mean, so that they can hear about our Halloween. But this episode is being released on Halloween.
Okay. Because Halloween's on a Monday.
I was thinking that too. I was like, damn, Halloween has always, for me, been the most fun on a Friday or the weekend. So when it's like on a day like Monday, it's like, how am I supposed to turn up on Halloween on a Monday?
I was bugging my my superiors about wearing costumes. So they have allowed me to wear my costume for Halloween.
I kind of want to be like, well, okay, for my school, I was going to be like, let's do a Halloween door competition where like we literally whoever has the best door gets more points.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I'm already planning homecoming. I can't do this. but I legit want to do it. But it might just have to be like a random, like, hey, y'all, let's do a Halloween door competition. Tell, like, create a form for your advisory on what themes they want to do and then vote on it. And then you just order the stuff. And then ops will go around and vote which one is the like best door. But I was like, that's giving them more work and I don't want to do that to them. Ops is like the main office and they always have to do shit. And I was like, I feel like if they have to be part of a door competition for the teachers, they're going to complain. So I was just like, because they don't fuck with most of the teachers because they complain about everything and kind of take ops for granted. So I kind of get where they're coming from. So I'm like, honestly, they shouldn't even be the ones to vote on it. And then asking the assistant principal to do it is just too much. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just design my door and keep it to myself. And I'm going to wear my Sims costume again.
Cute.
I was going to do something else, but I was like, literally, if I walk into the school and nobody else is wearing a costume, I'm going to be annoyed. So...
I kind of like want to make the plumb bob now and wear that instead of trying to wear my actual costume.
Yeah, because it's like when you think about it, when you have to like ride the train or like walk around and nobody else is doing it, it feels weird. So I was like, I don't think I want to do it unless other people in the school say, yeah, I'm wearing a costume that day. And honestly, my last school, even as terrible as it is, I loved my coworkers a lot more, like all of them, except for like maybe two. But they were fun. So they will probably be like, without me even asking, they'd be like, yeah, we're having a costume. Like all last year, there were like five Velmas walking around the school and they all coordinated to be Velma. They were all like, what character do we want to be from Scooby-Doo? And they all said Velma. And then they were just like, okay, well, we're all going to be Velmas.
Velma is the most popular one.
Literally. And I was like, I even wanted to be Velma. But then I was like, I don't think my hair fits. So then when y'all said Daphne, I was like, you know what? That makes more sense. I'm gonna make Daphne fit. But in a perfect world, I would have been Velma. Because Velma is the like easiest thing to dress up as. All you need is an orange sweater, a red skirt, and glasses. That's it.
I'm being Scooby-Doo, which I think that's probably the most fitting for me.
I was just like, why you as the brown person pick Scooby-Doo? People are going to be looking at us like, yo, this is low-key racist.
They got three light skins in the group. This is racist.
would have to be like, disclaimer, this was a personal choice. This was not forced upon her.
I have loved Scooby-Doo since I was introduced to Scooby-Doo. I don't know where it is now, but I had a big ass Scooby-Doo. Like, he was like at least 3 feet tall.
We might have had the same one because I had a 3 foot Scooby-Doo too, and I'm like, yo, I should have never got rid of that.
He was just sitting, and like his posture was just him sitting.
Yeah,
and his little leg lost some cotton or whatever, so I was like, oh, he broke his leg. But I have had that Scooby forever. He always used to be in my bed because like that was the perfect pillow always.
Same.
He had a collar, but I was like, release him from his shackles. So I don't know where that collar is, to be honest with you. I love Scooby-Doo. I had a Scooby-Doo in almost every size. I remember my grandfather had a little Scooby-Doo, a chef Scooby-Doo on his dresser. Everything, like I had a Scooby-Doo t-shirt. I just love Scooby-Doo.
Scooby is like, I think, yeah, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be Scooby, and then I ended up being a completely different character every time. But I had a Scooby that was like one from Six Flags. So there was a smaller Scooby-Doo, then there was my like big Scooby-Doo. Then there was, then I had like a little soft pillow Scooby-Doo, but it was like that weird material that feels like what would you describe that as? Almost like a windbreaker, it felt like. Then I had a very smaller Scooby-Doo. But the only thing I have left of Scooby-Doo now is, like, my Scooby-Doo blanket. That I'm not letting go of. Scooby-Doo blanket will always be in my possession.
I believe I still have my Scooby-Doo stuffy. I just have no idea where he is. I have to find him.
And it's the colors and everything. It has the yellow, green, and purple. I was like, this Scooby-Doo not being let go of. I just can't wait to like do, because it's been so long since I did an escape room, and it's hard finding people who are interested in it. So when y'all said escape room, I was like, word? Yeah, we doing this. Especially because we're Scooby-Doo characters.
Yeah, I've never been to an escape room before, and everybody else keeps going, and they're like, oh my God, you should go. And then I'm like, all right, but invite me though.
Right. I hear people be like, you should come. And I'm like, have you invited me? How am I supposed to come? Like,
I already went. Y'all already had y'all time and never said right. A word. And then you wait till you come back to be like, oh, you should have went with us.
It's being the forgotten friend. I've always been that friend. I'm like, they do stuff. And then I'm like, oh, what'd y'all do this weekend? They're like, oh, we went to the movies. And I'm like, all y'all went to the movies separately and it was just a coincidence, or y'all went together?
Like, did we go to the movies?
It's like, okay, so why did y'all ask me? Oh, well, you always just be like in the house, so we just thought you were gonna say no anyway. And I was like,
so I'm always in the house because y'all don't like inviting people.
I'm like, I'm only in the house because you don't invite me.
Like, never said a word. It was just, y'all just came up to y'all. You have the phone in your palm of your hands.
That's what I knew. I was like, damn, yo, I ain't got a solid group of friends in high school. This ain't, y'all ain't my friends. Y'all always hanging out together. And then I find out after the fact, I was just like, and then they started acting weird when I stopped hanging out with them. I'm like,
right. I was never there in the first place. What do you mean?
then towards like senior year, that's when I started getting invited to stuff. And I was just like, I'll let you know if I feel like coming. And some stuff I went to, and then other stuff I was just like, I don't feel like going because I don't care anymore. You didn't even invite me in the first place. Why do you keep saying I should go? But yeah. No, I'm just on a binge of watching, which happens every Halloween. I don't know why I'm acting like it's brand new, but this year has just been like a lot better. I'm on a binge of like watching a whole bunch of like scary shows and movies and like even rewatching some stuff. And I'm just like, It is not lost on me that I think streaming apps are now starting to take advantage of the fact that like people are obsessed with Halloween. So now Netflix did this big thing in on their home screen where they are literally advertising every horror thing they have and every, well, specifically every Netflix original horror thing they have. And I like looked at it and I was like, yo, this was good marketing, because the first thing I wanted to do was watch Hill House and the new show with the producer. I was like, yo, I literally want to watch this right now.
Hulu does the same thing, but it's called Huluween. And like every time I go on to like watch Archer or Abbott Elementary, they're like, movies for you. And it's all horror movies. There's not a single, it's either a horror movie or a documentary. Damn, y'all know me like this. I don't know if I like that.
The only thing that messes up my algorithm is I also watched Catfish on there. So sometimes they'll be like, reality show. Oh, and Kitchen Nightmares. So sometimes they'll be like, random reality show. And I'm like, why would I watch that? Oh, yeah. You think I would watch this because I watch these two things.
Yeah, they mess up my algorithm because I watch Frasier like a maniac. So, like, every once in a while I'll get this. Watch The Golden Girls. Watch Wings or some shit. Or, like, but I actually watched Wings to completion. I love that show. But these are, like, super old shows that were out before I was born.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I actually, today, I watched Supernatural because I don't know why it popped back into my head. Or, actually, no, I do. But it just, for some reason, now I want to watch it. I have spoken about Supernatural and not wanting to watch it in a while because I did a whole binge on it and didn't watch it all the way to the end because I was just like, they're going on some weird journey now where I was just like not interested anymore. But I also just didn't give it a chance. And you know, my attention span is crazy. So like, if I stop one day, I'm just not going back. So I finally decided to watch it because my job does this thing where each week they ask two to three questions on a board and people have to answer anonymously. And one of the questions was, what fictional or non-fictional people are you bringing to a zombie apocalypse? And I think it only had to be three. So I said Sam and Dean Winchester, because obviously, and Deadpool and Queenie from American Horror Story Coven, because she literally can't die. Like, you can stab her a million times and she won't die. So I was just like, all right, yeah, she gotta come because she gonna be the brave one to kill the zombies without getting hurt, so we don't have to. And Deadpool literally also can't die, so he's gonna do all that damage. And then Sam and Dean have all of the what you call it, the apocalypse sort of tips to do. So, yeah, those are three essentials. And then after that, I just started thinking about Supernatural a whole bunch. And I was like, all right, that's a sign to watch it this time. That's a sign.
I don't know who I would bring with me. I'd have to think about that one.
Yeah, there's usually some good questions, but I wish they would gear their questions more towards like Halloween-related stuff now, because it's Halloween and I don't care about anything else right now. So like their other question was about like what historical figure would you want to meet and why, and I said Michael Jackson. And then somebody under me tried to write he's not really a historical figure, and I was like, who says who says he's not? But
y'all can't stop talking about him. Seems like he's making history to me,
right? So I was like, okay, sure. And I don't know who wrote it still, but they erased it, and also, well, or somebody erased it, but also everybody when I responded to it in the room was like, yeah, he's a historical figure. Why? Who would say that?
Like, nah, and they're a coward for not coming forward.
Right. I was like, it's probably one of y'all that's commenting on it. Now I'm side-eyeing everybody. But I literally just answered with the most basic thing. Because I was like, I don't really care about this question. I care about the Halloween-related question. But yeah, I just, any shows that people have to recommend, I'm trying not to run out by the time Halloween comes. Because I'm always inconsistent with my Halloween watching. I'll watch like Hocus Pocus and Halloween Town. And then like maybe two or three scary movies. And then just forget or like be doing stuff on the weekend. So I don't have time to watch anymore. And then Halloween comes and I'm like, no, spooky season is over. I didn't do Halloween right. And then, yeah, I get mad about it. But this year, I'm going to do it right. I'm watching something scary every day. I don't care.
I have been off of my Halloween game. I think ever since I haven't been living with my younger cousins in a long time. I used to force them to watch the scary movies with me. But now I'm like, it's just me here. So I don't do nothing but stare at the wall.
I also, yo, I did not pick up my the horror game that we've been trying to play in mad long. I have not even finished the game.
What game?
What you call it? The Quarry.
Oh. True. We haven't even, damn.
Yeah. So I'm like, nah, I literally got to take a bunch of weekends and just play that shit.
It's a good game. I have been, I always tune into my YouTubers to watch their scary game playthroughs all the time, every Halloween. And I watched my Mr. Nightmare and my Slapped Him. The name of this channel and what they produce is just two sides of a very weird coin. Because it's called Slapped Him, but like they do like ghost videos all the time. So I watched my top five ghost stuff and all that other stuff. Like I watch YouTube a lot. But to watch actual movies, I don't know. I want to, but I feel like I don't have the capacity anymore.
No, I feel you. Because some of them aren't really all that good. Like, if you're not grabbing me in the first 10 minutes anymore, I kind of just, my attention span goes off the wall. But for some reason, my attention span sticks when I listen to podcasts now. So, like, I'll listen to Dr. No Sleep, Strange and Unexplained, A Paranormal Chicks, like every day, like literally on my way to school, that's what I listen to. On the way home, that's what I listen to, unless I'm listening to music. But, and they're all scary. Like, I listen to Dr. No Sleep because the stories are just really, really good. But yeah, if people have any other scary horror, scary story podcasts or like true crime stuff that I haven't listened to besides like the main ones, like I'm not listening to whatever one Patrick Hines is on. No shade, but his voice is just too much for me. And yeah, can't remember what other stuff, but I think I'm more so into watching the shows right now, so I'll probably watch like Supernatural or any like Disney stuff that I haven't watched in a long time. Like Hocus Pocus 2 was great. It was amazing. I will rewatch that shit if somebody asked me to. Like,
I maybe have watched Hocus Pocus once.
How dare? How dare?
It's not something that interests me. So I'm like, it's like I love Halloween Town, but I stopped watching it after a certain year. Cause like my love for Halloween is like, I don't know. It's just, I like the darker stuff. I mean, it's just, it's too cutesy for me. I'm just like.
But it was so funny and good.
I'm not, like, I mean, I'll watch, like, Corpse Bride. I'll watch Nightmare Before Christmas. I'll watch, I need to rewatch Coraline, actually.
Rewatching Coraline as an adult is crazy.
Because it just scares you for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
I just want to say one last thing. Paranorman. That was a movie I did not expect to scare me, and it did.
Not Monster House scared the crap out of me when I was younger. I feel like it wouldn't be the same for me as an adult, though. But Coraline, rewatching as an adult, still scary. Still creepy as hell. But I've never watched Paranorman, so I might have to watch that.
Paranorman is very good. Okay, so yeah, the movie we watched this time around, in celebration of Halloween, a classic, Scream, the very movie that came out the year after I was born. It's your classic. Everybody knows Scream. It's not like I fail to believe that there is anybody out here who does not know Ghostface.
And if you don't, I don't know where you've been living, but you need to come back to reality.
And it's funny, fun fact, the mask for Ghostface was actually inspired by the Scream painting by Edvard, I want to say Munch or whatever, Munich, something like that. I don't know if you've ever seen the Scream. The guy's like,
yeah, Edvard Munch.
Which I never made the connection until I read that. And I was like, wow, I feel like an idiot.
I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that either, because it's like, it's not, I don't think it's meant to be a scary painting, but it is.
To me, it's scary because, like, why are you screaming?
Word. And more so, why does your face look like that? Like, you look like you have no nose.
That's some Courage the Cowardly Dog screaming. Another thing you should binge watch for Halloween. But yes, Scream. The classic plot. High school student Casey Becker is home alone when she receives a flirty phone call from an unknown person. Which back in this day, we didn't have caller ID. So you kind of just got whatever you got when you picked up the phone.
Playing lottery with your life.
And apparently this conversation was so riveting that they decided to discuss horror films. But when the call turns sadistic and threatens her life, she's like, I might want to hang up now. To which the person reveals that her boyfriend, Steve Orth, is bound and gagged outside on her patio. And then he starts demanding that she answers questions about horror films. So, after Casey answers a question about Friday the 13th incorrectly, Steve is murdered right in front of her. She is then stabbed and murdered by a person wearing a black robe and a ghost mask, and her parents find her disemboweled corpse hanging from a tree. Classic opening. Yo, Scream is crazy, bro.
Not for real, because I don't think anybody was expecting it to start that way. And it was just insane. Like, oh my God, what a crazy ass opening. And Drew Barrymore, you know, she was like the it girl at the time. So, you know, people saw the opening and wasn't expecting this so early.
They were like, damn.
For real. But that's my favorite quote in a movie, too. Like, do you like scary movies?
What's your favorite scary movie?
Like,
So, news media descend on the town and a police investigation begins. As Sydney Prescott struggles with the first anniversary of her mother Maureen's rape and murder, a news reporter, Gail Weathers, who Sydney dislikes, arrives. Gail was responsible for spreading rumors and conspiracy theories about Maureen's death, insinuating that the imprisoned Cotton Weary, who had been tried and convicted of Maureen's rape and murder, was not responsible for her assault and killing. In the evening, while waiting at home for her best friend Tatum Riley to arrive, Sydney gets a taunting phone call and is attacked by the killer. Sydney's boyfriend, Billy Loomis, arrives immediately after. When he drops his cell phone, Sydney suspects him of making the call and flees. Billy is arrested and questioned, but later at Tatum's house, Sydney receives another ominous call. The next day, Billy is released and suspicion shifts to Sydney's father, Neil Prescott, due to the ominous phone calls having been traced to his phone. As school is suspended in wake of the murders, the killer stabs Principal Arthur Hembry to death in his office. Tatum's boyfriend and Billy's best friend, Stu, throws a party to celebrate the school's closure. Gail attends uninvited as she expects the killer will strike again. Tatum's older brother, Deputy Sheriff Dewey Riley, also looks out for the murderer at the party. The killer then murders Tatum by crushing her neck with the garage door. Many party attendees are drawn away after hearing of Hembry's death, leaving only Sydney, Billy, their friend Randy Meeks, Stu, and Gail's cameraman, Kenny. After having sex, Sydney and Billy are confronted by the killer, and Billy is seemingly killed. Sydney escapes from the house and seeks help from Kenny, but the killer fatally slashes his throat. Gail crashes her van while escaping, and Dewey is stabbed in the back while investigating in the house. Sydney takes his gun for protection. Randy and Stu show up and accuse each other of being the killer, but Sydney retreats back into the house where she finds Billy wounded. After they let Randy inside, Sydney gives Billy the gun, but Billy shoots and injures Randy, revealing himself to be the killer, having faked his attack. Stu reveals himself to be the second killer by talking into a voice changer. Billy and Stu corner Sydney in the kitchen and discuss their plan to kill her and pin the murder spree on her father, whom they have taken hostage. They also reveal that they murdered her mother and framed Cotton for it, as she was having an affair with Billy's father, which drove his mother away. Gail intervenes, and it allows Sydney to escape and turn the tables on the killers, taunting them with a phone call and donning the killer's costume, before knocking Billy out and dropping a television set on Stu's head, killing him. An enraged Billy awakens and attacks Sydney, but Gail shoots and injures him. Randy is revealed to be wounded but alive, and remarks that the killer always resurfaces for one last scare. As Billy rises, Sydney shoots Billy in the head, finally killing him for good. As police arrive, Dewey, badly injured, is taken away by ambulance as Gail makes an impromptu news report about the night's events. That's the whole movie. Yeah, when you first watch this, it's like, what is going on? And like, the king, Matthew Lillard, like, golly.
Yeah, that was the biggest shocker. Like, when you watch it, you're not, like, they threw you for a loop like 70,000 times in the movie. And people who you were like, nah, it's definitely him. They literally kept being like, in the movie, like, the way it plays out, like, nah, it's actually not him. And then you're like, oh, okay. It would be too obvious to be these two. And you're like, yeah, no, too obvious. And because, like, they're making fun of scary movies, it makes it so much easier for the audience to be tricked, because you're like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Logically, it couldn't be them because they're the obvious option. And then it's like, it is them. And you're like, oh, shit.
And you just end up not trusting anybody. And I'm just like, I feel for this character because this is how I feel too.
It was just so crazy. Like, the whole time, you just keep getting thrown for a loop. You're like, well, is it the dad? Because why is he here right now? or why isn't he here right now, rather? Then at one point, you're like, okay, maybe it's this guy who's too into scary movies. And then it's like, okay, not him, because he's literally about to get attacked right now. Then it's like, okay, like, there's just so many moments where you're like, it gotta be this person. And then you end up being wrong.
People get clapped and then they come back and you're like, whoa, I thought you were dead. Like, what happened?
Word. But it's like, they hint at it so often that it's them. But because things keep happening where it's like, okay, maybe it's not them, you literally just think, okay, we're safe, we're good, it's not them. It tricks you all the way throughout. I love that movie so much. But I love that whoever did this was like, I love scary movies so much and I understand it so much that I'm gonna make fun of it. And it makes sense because that's how I feel about it. There's like such a thin line between horror and comedy. That if you do it wrong, it could be funny as hell, even if you don't mean it to be. And I think that's why oftentimes, like, they'll break up the violence with, like, comedic things. When a movie takes itself too seriously, you end up laughing at it. Like, obviously not something like The Conjuring or Insidious. I mean, you laugh because you're like, oh my God. But there's other things where you're like, The Exorcist, you end up laughing because the bitch's head literally spins around in a circle and the graphics are terrible and she's throwing up. Like, it's just funny. But I appreciate that Scream was able to point that out. Like, there's such a thin line between horror and comedy. It's unavoidable that you're going to make somebody laugh at some point, so you might as well. Like, I think that's why I loved Get Out so much, is because while it was like a very serious and like crazy ass movie, it didn't take itself so seriously where you couldn't laugh at some parts. Like, they literally had the TSA guy there for comedic relief. Like,
I love that. I really do love that in movies.
Yeah.
And it's how you know it's a good movie, when they involve stuff like that.
Right.
I also loved, like, there was a character that knew everything. Like, he knew everything about horror movies, and it was great. It was amazing. there wasn't a single character where I was like, I don't care about this person, except for Sydney. Well, and Billy, because he was just boring. But once he showed his true colors, I was like, oh, you're no longer boring. You're insane. But yeah, like Matthew Lillard's character was insane. Like, that whole scene of them stabbing each other was just crazy.
They were really insane.
Like the whole time I was just watching with my mouth covered, like, oh my fucking God. I will, like, watch that movie 10,000 times. You know what pissed me off, though? I know Leon, like, isn't into horror movies like that, but this man literally said it was okay. I wanted to scream. I wanted to scream and throw something. I was like, there's no way. There's no way you just watched that and said it was okay. There's no way. There's no way. It's like one of the best movies ever. And people have a, like, I'm about to look to see what it's rated right now.
Because, like, there are a lot of slasher films out there. But there's nothing like the Scream franchise. Like, the original Scream was just so good as a slasher.
Bruh, nothing like it. And what's crazy is I can't look at, like, stuff like Rotten Tomatoes because they always, like, rate terribly. It'll be, like, such a good movie and they'll be, like, 6 out of 10. It's like, no, you're lying.
Like, it's their thing. Like, they're purposely doing this just to get people mad.
Right. Even the new updated Scream was good as hell. Actually, yeah, if you haven't seen that, definitely go watch it because I loved it. I loved that they were recalling everything from the original. I loved that all the same characters, not every single one, but the ones who, like, didn't die, showed back up in it. I loved that they were literally still going on the whole tangent of, like, this is what happens in a scary movie and this is how it works. Like, everything was great for an adaptation.
What's funny to me is that during the time of me actually watching the original Scream, I also watched the Scary Movie franchise. And you know how they make jokes about Ghostface all the time. So some of my memories muddled with the joke Scream and the actual Scream. Because there's a scene in a Scary Movie where Scream is, like, getting high. And the mask, instead of being all down, it's, like, up. And he's, like, smiling. And they're just like...
It's like, what's that?
Yeah, he picks up the phone. He's like, what's that?
That shit was funny as hell. But that's how you know it was classic. Because they literally put that in there and was like, we're going to make fun of this movie, too. Like, Scream is a classic. Like, if somebody says they don't like Scream, I'm going to side-eye them because you didn't watch it. We didn't watch the same thing. And then I'm also just like, Scream was so impactful that literally everybody's Halloween costumes for the longest was Ghostface. And on top of that, it's still a costume. Like, they are not letting it go.
They aren't. I used to always get scared by people because they had the... They had the little blood bag thing.
I was just going to say that. They were squeezing it and it would be like the mask would be dripping.
I had like 3 people come up to me and scare me like that when I was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, yo. That was like such a popular costume. It's also scary because you really don't know who's in it. And if you watch the movie, you're like, all right, I hope you're not trying to like play a game with me or something.
It's a costume and we're not, I don't have to fight for my life right now.
Oh my God, it's so good. But yeah, Scream will always be, I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10, but a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because I'm just like, okay. Reason why I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10 is because I've never watched a movie where every character was interesting except the main protagonist. Like, that's usually what's shown in a TV show. Like, the other characters are supposed to be like a reflection of the main character. So for a movie, it was like mad weird to see every other character was interesting except for her. And I was just like, okay. Like, only thing that was interesting about her was that she was the main target of the killer. And that was it. Like, she barely had a personality.
Right. Like, she, it was just like, I'm scared for my life. The killer. Like.
Or, like, every 2 seconds when she was like, Billy, what are you doing here? And it's like, Billy is obviously the killer. And he just keeps popping up at these convenient moments. Like, it's just crazy. And then she got me mad when she slept with him. Because I was like, you literally was just thinking a second ago that you didn't want to sleep with him. And he keeps being adamant about you sleeping with him. Girl, don't sleep with him. And then she slept with him. And I was like, in a moo-moo. In a fucking moo-moo.
You just played into his horror movie fantasy.
Right.
Because every horror movie's got to have a sex scene.
Or every horror movie has to have a virgin. Right. And if somebody's having sex, you know somebody's going to die. And that's exactly the joke that was in there, too. The guy who knew everything about scary movies was like, don't have sex because you're going to die. And then here she go, having sex.
She wanted to. She wanted to die.
Right. I was like, you just asking for it at this point. Nah, let me stop. But, but yeah, like, I just, she needed to be more interesting for me, and she wasn't. Literally every character around her was. I will say the adaptation Scream, the characters were very interesting, so they made up for it eventually. And also Scream 2 was amazing. That's when she actually did become interesting. It's just for Scream, the first Scream, she wasn't. So they eventually made up for it, but that first one, it was just like, meh.
I feel that.
I also just love the Scream franchise as a whole. Like, it was so good. Like, they even made a TV show. And the TV show had, like, a good little second where it was interesting. But after a while, it was like, I think they were trying too hard to be, to grab millennials focused or Gen Z's focused, because they kept using, like, random AAVE words and, like, political topics that just weren't necessary. Like, oh, yeah, so-and-so came out as non-binary or trans or whatever. And it was just like, okay, like, but why does this have to become a whole thing right now? Like, unless you're relating it to the horror part, I don't see why this is relevant.
Right. I can't now. Like, I understand why they do it, but it just mm-hmm. makes us continuously look bad. And I'm just like, I understand that certain things need to be addressed and, like, whatever. But in my horror movie or series, like, let me be scared, not angry.
Right. Like, my issue with it, too, is, like, at least if they had made it make sense, then I would have been okay. I understand you want to normalize, you know, things that should have been normalized in the first place. Like, don't get me wrong. LGBTQ does need to be visible. It needs to be normalized in shows. But the way to normalize it is not by having someone come out in the show or episode every 2 seconds. Like, we do not need an announcement of this person is now trans. Just make them trans. And we have to be like, oh, they're trans. Okay. And just move on. It does not need to be a part of this. Like, I don't know. Like, they always make it a part of the plot. And I'm like, why is this necessary? This isn't even the main character. So why are we so concerned about their sexuality right now? That has always bothered me. I don't like that they do that.
Cause, like, I feel like the only reason why you're doing this is so that, like, the character can get, like, bodied in the next scene.
Right, exactly.
Because I'm gonna bring this up because I have to bring this up. It. Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
First 5 minutes of the movie, I wanted to walk out.
No, for real. For real.
For both my ticket and my cousin's ticket, we had snacks and everything. So it was easily like over $30 I spent at the movie. I wanted to walk out of the theater. And I have never, not even when I saw Get Out, have I wanted to just walk out of the movie. I had to witness a gay couple get harassed and killed brutally.
Literally, I was like, why did we need to see them get harassed first and then get killed? Just kill them. Like, what?
And then I see freaking Pennywise come out and I'm like, oh yes, Pennywise is gonna protect their gays. No.
He kills them. And that's my thing. I was like, what message are we trying to send right now? Because why are we, one, so focused on this moment of them, like, being harassed and then they get killed? And then for a character to later be revealed as gay. Like, what are we doing?
Right. I just, like, I know y'all need content for your movie, but, like, this wasn't it.
Right. I was just like,
this wasn't it.
Everybody had an issue with that opening scene because it was just like, you literally did not have to get them harassed. You could have, they're on a date and they were kissing and they got killed by Pennywise. That's it. I don't think anybody would have complained about that unless, like, you took out one of the characters being gay. They probably still would have made the connection. But to also have them harassed on top of that was just like, what the fuck?
Really bad. And like, to this day, like, I'm still like cringing over it. Like, I barely remember the scene. I just remember how I felt. And I'm just like, never again. You literally ruined one of my favorite horror movies with this.
Yeah. Normalize gay people on screen by not making them announce their gayness every 2 seconds. That's how you make things normal. We as, like, people, cishet people do not fucking announce their heterosexuality on TV. So we do not need gay people announcing every 2 seconds or having a sense of discovery in a fucking horror show. It's unnecessary. Okay, rant over. Now, this is the story that actually inspired the movie Scream, which I have my own issue with that because I feel like, I don't know, it almost seemed to glorify the killer a little bit. Yeah, so I did appreciate that, again, the adaptation of Scream that came out recently, the new movie, or not really an adaptation, I guess, like the last sequel, but they call it a adaptation, whatever. But I do think that they did a good job of dispelling, like, the narrative that people should not be glorifying, or that people do glorify killers or whatever, and they shouldn't be. Like, people were, I think in the movie, they were watching this movie called Stab, and people were imitating the killer. And they wholeheartedly, like, bashing that point of view. Like, people should not be doing that. Whereas, I think the original Scream was literally just, oh my God, this story is crazy. Why not just make a movie about this type of person? I was like, you seem like you're glorifying him though. So while I'm telling this, I'm going to be shitting on this man. So Danny Harold Rowling was born on May 26, 1954 into an abusive and toxic home. His father, who was a police officer, never wanted children and consistently beat them and his wife up. Danny was only 1 year old when his father abused him for the first time. He was beaten because he wasn't crawling properly. And when Kevin, Danny's younger brother, was born in 1955, the abuse only worsened. Claudia, his mother, tried to escape the toxic marriage, but time and time again, she returned. When Danny failed the third grade for too many absences due to illness, his mother had a nervous breakdown. Danny's school counselors described him as suffering from an inferiority complex with aggressive tendencies and poor impulse control. I don't give a fuck about a lot of his life. Not saying that I don't care about abuse victims, but it's like, abuse victims don't always become killers. So I don't really care about his life that much. So I'm going to skip a lot of what happened. But basically, he, as a teen, started getting worse and worse. Like, he started looking, peeping in on women and stuff, doing weird shit. And that just goes to
makings of a serial killer, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. And literally that's why I'm telling only the short background, like the short background being that his father abused him and that's how he ended up doing what he was doing, but it does not excuse it. I saw it pissed me off. I saw this TikTok of this girl literally saying Jeffrey Dahmer did the things he did because he was a closeted gay and like people didn't like gay people back in that time. So he wanted to, he also had abandonment issues. So he ate them because he, what did he say? What did she say? Some stupid shit about he ate them to feel closer to them so that there was no way he could abandon, they could be, they could abandon him. And also like if he, he also did lobotomies on some of them because he wanted to have somebody who literally just could not leave. And her whole statement just sounded like pure sympathy for this fucking man who killed queer black men, and it pissed me off. So fuck people who do that.
Did he eat the people and then just never use the bathroom? Because one way or the other,
they're coming out. Right. Yo, she pissed me off. So yeah, fuck people who think like that. Fuck you. I hope, you know what? I'm just going to keep that thought to myself. But I hope nothing ever happens to you like that and you try to explain it away by saying, oh, the person should have a little bit of sympathy because of these things. Just because this person endured abuse does not excuse the fact that he killed people. Like, fuck him. I don't give a fuck what he went through.
Right.
There's plenty of abuse victims who don't do that shit, so not an excuse. Yeah, so skipping all of that part because we don't care. At 6'2", Danny Rowling was a massive, powerful man, like meaning he was very big and hefty. From the late 1970s to 1990s, he committed a series of petty crimes and thefts. He turned to a series of armed robberies to get cash and subsequently went in and out of the criminal justice systems in Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, and Alabama. He broke out of prison several times and was fired and quit jobs just as frequently. And during that time, the bodies of three victims were found in Shreveport. 24-year-old Julie Grissom, her father Tom Grissom, and her nephew 8-year-old Sean, who were all killed around the time Danny lost his last job and returned home in vengeance. So it's already pointing to him because he just, you know, fired and quit a bunch of jobs and he felt vindicated to sit there and be like, I'm going to get vengeance against some people who I think didn't even really have to do anything with his job. So yeah. In May of 1990, he had a mental breakdown and he shot his 58-year-old father twice and nearly killed him. So though he survived, James Rowling, his father, had lost an eye and an ear. Danny then changed his identity with papers he stole after breaking into someone's house. He fled Shreveport and took a bus to Sarasota, Florida to start a new life as Michael Kennedy Jr. in late July of 1990. But running away to Florida obviously didn't cure him. It made him worse. So trigger warning, it gets very graphic here. On August 24th, 1990, Danny broke into the home of Sonia Larson and Christina Powell, both incoming freshmen. So they were literally like 18. At the University of Florida in Gainesville. Rowling followed them home, broke into their house, and overpowered them, basically. I'm not going to read the very specific stuff of this because it's too graphic for me, and I feel like I'm just going to cringe the whole time I'm reading it. So basically, he raped both of them and stabbed and killed them. One part being that he cut off one of the girl's nipples and tried to keep it as a trophy. Yeah. Which is why when people glorify them and be like, oh, he's my favorite serial killer, you're fucking weird. You're weird as shit. Like, what? The next day, Danny killed Krista Hoyt in much the same fashion. He broke into her residence and raped her as well. He also removed her nipples and placed them beside her. Then he cut off her head and set her upright on the edge of her bed and then put her head on a bookshelf.
Mm-mm.
By now, news of the murders had spread across the university and authorities put out as much information as they could to try to catch the suspect. Students started sleeping in groups and took almost every precaution they could think of, like walking in groups, never really went anywhere without anyone with them. I'm pretty sure they probably like had a curfew set. Like they just did all the things. Despite this, the Gainesville Ripper killed one more time. On August 27th, Rowling attacked Tracy Pauls and Manuel Tabota, both 23. He killed Tabota while he slept. Then he killed Tracy. Authorities feel Danny did not manage to mutilate these bodies because he may have been in danger of getting caught or was otherwise interrupted by someone. These murders all occurred less than 2 miles from each other around the University of Florida. Around this time, the university consequently canceled classes for a week. Student brought baseball bats with them everywhere. They went, like I said, they just started basically doing everything. No one went out alone during the day or night. Students triple locked doors and some slept in shifts, so someone was awake at all times. By the end of August, thousands of students left campus and around 700 never came back because they feared for their lives.
That is insane.
Mm-hmm. Police couldn't find enough evidence at crime scenes to implicate. And oh, also, you have to think about the time it is too. Like, they didn't even have cameras anywhere. So literally, it was probably hard to get caught because they had no way of knowing where the fuck this man was because they didn't have security cameras.
Looked like everybody else, so who do you trust?
Police couldn't find enough evidence at crime scenes to implicate Danny Rowling. Instead of leaving the duct tape on his dead bodies, Danny disposed of it in dumpsters to get rid of any fingerprints. He also used cleaning solvents on the dead bodies to remove any traces of his semen. Some of the women's bodies were left in sexually suggestive positions, which offered authorities a clue into the killer's method. He continued to steal from homes and gas stations until he was finally caught in Ocala after a high-speed chase. He was wanted for the robbery of a Winn-Dixie, as authorities still did not know that he was, in fact, the Gainesville Ripper. That was on September 8th, 2 weeks after the murders had occurred. The triple murder in Shreveport of Julie Grissom, her father, and nephew clued the Gainesville police into their suspect. Grissom's corpse was left in a sexual position. She was also stabbed to death. So they were starting to pick up a pattern and were like, okay, this was him too. It wasn't until January 1991, more than 4 months after the murders, that police caught a break. Because of the similarities of the murders in Shreveport and Gainesville, Florida investigators sought DNA of prisoners from Shreveport who were incarcerated, and Danny Rowling's DNA was similar enough to DNA left at the Gainesville murder scenes to charge him with murder. He eventually confessed to being the Gainesville Ripper, and they found enough evidence to convict him, and he was executed on October 25th, 2006. Me personally, I feel like he shouldn't have been executed. I feel like he should have been in jail, and somebody could have, like, you know, tortured him for the rest of his days, and then he would have died a sufferable death. That's how I feel like he should have went out. But fine, execution, whatever.
And this is 2006, so, like, I don't know. Like, they just don't put people to death like that anymore.
Yeah. Like, I really, truly feel like in this situation, eye for an eye, like, because he was torturing people before he killed them, I feel like he should have been tortured before he died. However that might have looked like.
It's so unsavory to know that, like, we were alive around the time that people like this were still alive. Like, it's so, it makes me nervous.
No, for real. Because there's people still like this. That's the crazy part. There's people still like this, but they get caught a lot easier now because of cameras everywhere and technology and the way they do forensic evidence and everything. But people still get away with it because, like, honestly, I'm not even trying to shit on. I have family members who are police officers, one who literally just became one, and I'm not trying to, like, shit on everybody, but I just don't see the point in police officers for real, unless it's for small, like, petty crimes. But when it comes to, like, investigating murders, I think they handle everything completely wrong. They almost rarely catch the person in time before they, it's never preventative. Like, being a police officer is never preventative enough for them to stop these things from happening, or they don't stop it before a whole bunch of people die because they don't handle shit right. They're not trained properly, so they don't understand how to track these things and figure things out. They don't track patterns until, like, it's too late because they need a pattern to show up before they know what the fucking pattern is. It's just, like, insane.
So it's like, just like healthcare professionals, law enforcement is like, you know, people die every day. But then when so many people die the same specific way, then we're like, oh, wait.
Yeah, like they.
And it has to get to that point before y'all start caring.
Right. And almost all the time, I always just see videos of like police officers literally just stopping people for stupid shit. And I'm like, isn't somebody a serial killer in your fucking town? Like, why are you doing this right now?
Right.
That shit makes no sense to me. So I see them more as a non-preventative institution. They're more harassment than anything. They are more of a gang than anything.
I also wanted to add in that Danny's little book that he wrote detailing all of his crimes and whatever. He tried to say that he tried to pull the classic line, the devil made me do it. But
oh, goodbye.
In the courtroom, like they tested him and like he was deemed mentally stable and he had a regular IQ. So they were like, no, he didn't make you do anything.
Of course he's mentally stable. I hate when serial killers try to do that because you knew enough to hide it. You knew enough to run away on time. You knew enough to clean evidence and everything. You're not insane. Get the fuck out of here.
And then he when he wrote this book, I forget who it was that helped him actually print it and publish it, but they got sued by the state of Florida. Because they were like, this is stupid. Why is the guy who killed all these people getting money for a book telling how he killed all these people?
Yeah, exactly.
As they should sue him. Why the fuck would you be a part of that?
Right. So all the money that was made from the sale of those books were to go to, well, they were supposed to go to the victims of the family, but some of the victims' families were like, we don't want blood money. So they ended up just donating it to the Criminal Justice Fund or whatever. Some organization for criminal justice.
And, you know, I'm starting to get annoyed. I love watching true crime documentaries. Not because I'm like, ooh, murder. I'm like more so interested in why people do what they do. How did they get here? Like, and also it's like a hate watch thing. Like, I fucking hate this person, but also I want to know what the fuck happened. And, you know, it is educational, but I also hate how people try to explain away watching true crime for fun. Like, it is okay. I'm not saying, you know, you're the best morally sound person if you watch it for fun, but that's your business. But don't try to sit here and explain away watching something when you know something morally incorrect is going on. Like, for example, people trying to explain away watching the Jeffrey Dahmer thing. Just say you want to watch it because you're interested in watching it because Evan Peters is in it or whatever. But don't try to sit here and be like, I'm watching it because it's educational. And people are telling you, like, literally nobody from the families knew about this. The way they found out is when we found out through a trailer on Twitter. Like, that's the only way they found out.
I'm just saying, I could not imagine that.
Like, y'all are such fake empathizers trying to say, oh, I'm an empath. No, the fuck you're not. Because you're sitting here watching something that somebody said, we never got any notice of, let alone money. We never got any notice about this happening. And as victims of, you know, our family members, like, what happened to them, we're tired of seeing the same story being told about this man and it like empathizing with them. People are like, oh, but it's mainly about the neighbors. No, it's not. It's not about the neighbor. It's not about much about the victims. It is showing everything about Dahmer and showing them, but don't act like it's just highlighting their lives. It is completely about him. They don't care about the victims because it's public record, so they knew they could do it without asking them for any permission because it's a public story. And it annoys me when people are just like trying to justify that without just saying, I just want to watch it because I'm interested. Okay, fine. You just say that.
Own up to your shit. Like, I just want to watch it. Why do you have to try to act like you're this super savior who's going to watch it and then prevent it from ever happening again? Shut up.
Right. And you know what annoys me? People are like mad because there's people saying, but the fam, I'm not going to be mad at anybody for saying they're watching it. But what I get mad at is them trying to be like, well, I watch it for educational purposes. No, you don't. You watch it for entertainment. Be real. Be for real. Be for real. Be fucking for real right now.
We're not at school, the heck?
Right. And it's like, I only hate, because I say that, but I hate that they're using it in the argument to justify why they're watching it, even though a family member said, we're not getting any money. We were not told about it. Like, don't, that should not be in response to them. That should not be in response to people saying, like, I don't think you should watch it because such and such. Like, just say, you know, I respect the families, but I think I want to watch it anyways because I've never seen the perspective of these victims. Fine, whatever. That's all you need to say. Stop trying to justify your bullshit, though.
Right.
I've been getting so annoyed with that. And, like, it makes me embarrassed sometimes to say that I'm interested in true crime because it's always, like, you interested in true crime because of murder? No, I really just am like, if I could be a forensic scientist and I like was good at science, I would, because I'm that interested in like, nah, we need to help these people. Like, they need to be found.
It's like trying to find out why you have that inquisitive mindset, because I like, I understand, because I have that as well. Like, you just want to know why, like, why people do the things they do, why this way, why that way, why this whole thing right now.
And it's okay to just say that. It's okay to say, I just really want to know why. Why these people? That is fine if you say that. Don't judge somebody for saying they're not going to watch it. But also, don't judge somebody for saying they're going to watch it because they just want to watch it. I am judging you wholeheartedly if you're just like trying to bullshit.
And I'm like, obviously the victim's family or whatever saying that, you know, they didn't get anything from it or like get any information from it is not gonna stop anybody from watching it. So
exactly,
do it. Like, I hate when people are trying to like yap away about why when I didn't ask.
Literally, people were just saying, okay, the families didn't know about it, you shouldn't watch it. If you know you support the victims' families or whatever. And Netflix glorifying Dahmer. They did not ask why the fuck you still want to watch. They just gave you a suggestion.
Bruh. I said the only reason why I wanted to watch it was because it was Evan Peters. Evan Peters is one of my favorite horror theme, whatever, actors. So I was like, yeah, I'll probably watch it. I've been saying that for the longest, for all the seasons of American Horror Story I haven't watched yet.
I'm even still battling in my head. Like, I said I wasn't going to watch it, but I'm like, but low-key, I didn't know the perspectives of the victims' families, and I don't think any documentary about Dahmer does. So I almost want to watch it for that reason. But I also empathize with them saying, don't watch it because we didn't know about it. So I'm, like, still stuck between that. And I'm like, well, if I could watch it illegally without giving Netflix the stream, then I will.
So technically, I am watching it illegally since I don't pay for Netflix, so...
But yeah, that was my, I was just like, I'm tired of people trying to bullshit and I'm tired of people glorifying serial killers. Like, please stop.
Right. God, the whole Ted Bundy thing, I wanted to throw a chair through a window.
Right. Even the media giving him a name is enough for me to be like, ew. Like, why are you trying to immortalize this person by giving him a name? Like, just say, this killer in fucking Florida who's doing this bullshit. Like,
right, like, they didn't say nothing about, I mean, I guess they kind of did. But, like, it wasn't to this extent about, like, Ed Gein. And he was really disgusting. So it's like, it just, you know, they're trying to romanticize certain killers. And it's like, this doesn't make sense.
Right. And even with this, like, the same thing with Ted Bundy. They're calling Dahmer cute. Like, what do you, why? What?
Y'all need to stop. If you're this lonely, I think y'all need, like, a pet or a plant or something, because
it's mental illness. Like, I'm just like, if I would have ever hear anybody say some, oh, that serial killer is cute, bro, I'm roasting the fuck out of you. Like,
because I just got to say, like, I'm gonna have to disagree because.
Right.
It's also just like, ew, why is this the topic of conversation you wanna have right now?
Right. Because everybody thinks it's cool. Serial killers are cool. So we gotta say stupid shit all the time.
Right. It's like, okay.
But, in the spirit of Halloween, I thought that some ghost stories would be fun to share.
Woo!
So we'll buckle up for a few little ghost stories. I won't make it too long because I already know we've gone way past. Okay, so this first story is called The Little Hands. I've never lived in a haunted house, but my mother did as a teen, writes Reddit.com user Patented Space Hook, recounting a true event. Other houses on her street had strange things going on too. A few homes away from her lived a family. One night, the daughter went to bed with a bad headache. The next day, she was dead. She'd passed away from an aneurysm, which are very scary.
Damn!
Very scary. Brain aneurysms are the scariest things in the world. After her funeral, the family went away to get their minds off the tragedy, and the father asked my uncle, my mom's brother, to check on their pets. Immediately, I would have been like, I'm sorry, bro, but no. My mom and dad, who were dating at the time, went with him. My mother had heard there was a grand piano and she wanted to play it. My dad was studying to be a veterinarian. After entering the house, my uncle and my father headed to the basement to see the animals. Why the animals are in the basement, we just don't know. And my mother went to the piano on the ground floor. She was playing it when she felt something brush her ankles. She thought a cat must have left the basement and walked past her. She kept playing. And then she felt it again. She looked under the piano and saw nothing. When she started again, she felt hands clasp her legs tightly. She dashed to the basement door, called my uncle and father, and waited for them. Back outside, my uncle could tell my mom was rattled and asked what was wrong. She told him what had happened, and he turned white. He told her the daughter who had died used to play a game with her father. When he played the piano, she'd crawl underneath, grab his ankles, and push his feet up and down on the pedals. The little hands.
That's so scary. Why would you do that while somebody's playing the piano?
Okay. So this next one is called The Phantom Patient. The ambulance company that I used to work for had a haunted ambulance, Rig 12, recounts Reddit.com user Zerbo. A lot of EMTs had stories about it, but I never put much stock in paranormal stuff. That is, until I had my own experience with Rig 12. My partner and I were working in a rural community at 3 a.m., and it was pitch dark and completely quiet. We were both dozing. I was in the driver's seat, and she was in the passenger seat. I woke up to a muffled voice, but I thought my partner was talking. I told her I was trying to sleep and closed my eyes. I distinctly heard a male voice say, "Oh my God, am I dying?" followed by a few seconds of heavy breathing. My partner and I sat up straight and looked back into the patient compartment where it sounded like the voice had come from. Things were quiet for a couple of seconds, then we heard the click of an oxygen bottle regulator and a hiss as if it was leaking. I turned on the lights and we ran out of the rig. I thought a transient might have climbed in while we were sleeping, so we opened the rear doors. No one was there. I checked the oxygen bottles. Neither was opened. We didn't sleep much after that. The phantom patient. You heard somebody say, oh my God, am I dying? Oh my God. That's so ridiculous. I would be like, bro, you're gone already, bro. Chill out. And then this last one's called The Eerie Attic.
You already lost me at attic. Because I don't fuck with those. My grandma had an attic. And that shit used to scare the hell out of me.
I've never had an attic. The only attic I've ever gone into was, like, the one at Aunt Shirley's house.
Yeah, you don't want one.
All right. Before Reddit.com user Diggs Dawes got down to recounting their scariest of ghost stories about living in a place that was obviously teeming with honest-to-goodness members of the spiritual world, they pointed out the irony of ghost stories that begin with the phrase, I don't believe in ghosts, but... After all, no matter how a ghost story begins, it always hinges on the notion that, come on, of course, we believe in ghosts, which is true. A few years ago, I moved into a one-bedroom apartment in Melbourne, Australia. It was my first time living on my own. The apartment block had been built in the 1930s. I'd been there for a few months when I came home from work one day and went into the bathroom. I saw something strange. A wooden board, which had covered a hole in the ceiling that led to a small attic space, lay fractured in two pieces on the ground. I examined the pieces. The board was an inch thick, and it would have taken Bruce Lee to break it. I thought the landlord had sent someone to work on the attic. I was frozen stiff with fear. Someone is up there for sure, I thought. I emailed pictures to the landlord asking if anyone had been there, with an undertone of annoyance since she hadn't warned me. Her reply read, please call me as soon as you are able to. Oh, I don't like that. I called and she explained that her last two tenants had said the same thing happened. She promised to replace the board, and she did. A month later, I woke up one night around 4 a.m. My body was covered in goosebumps. It felt like someone was rubbing his or her hands on me. Everything was silent, but then I heard a dragging sound coming from my bed, from above my bed. It was as if someone was pulling a sack of potatoes. I froze, convinced someone was up there. There was no way an animal could make that sound. After 5 minutes, I worked up the courage to turn on the light, armed myself with a cricket bat, and walked to the bathroom. That's when I saw that the new board covering the hole was broken in two. I felt sick. The dragging sound had stopped, but I heard something else. Whispering. The sound was clear and coming from the attic. It sounded like children's voices, and I could hear one sentence repeated over and over. It's your turn. It's your turn. I switched on every light in the apartment to make things feel normal. It was 5 a.m. and dark outside. I watched TV to try to unwind. Then a fuse blew. My pet budgie, Dexter, whom I kept in the kitchen, usually never made a sound at night. But he started squawking like he was being strangled. I'd never heard him make those sorts of noises. He was screaming. I grabbed my car keys, ran out, sat in my car, and waited there until the sun came up. When I saw people walking their dogs, this comforted me enough to go back in. Nothing would have me going back in here. The front door was open, but I figured I might have forgotten to close it when I ran out. I went to the kitchen to check on Dexter, but he wasn't in his cage. I felt sick again. All my windows were closed, so I looked everywhere inside. When I walked to the bathroom, I heard splashing. Dexter was half drowned in the toilet. I took him out, washed him, and dried him. I was so confused. At 8 a.m., I called the landlord and gave her a watered-down version of the night. Oh, wow, you heard the whispering too, she said. I stayed in that apartment for another 18 months. I heard the whispering on a few occasions, and twice the board covering the hole in the ceiling moved. Although I live somewhere else now, the landlord recently called. She said that her new tenants had begged to speak with me about some of the stuff that's been going on there. Forget it. That's their problem now.
Yo. Bruh, first of all, my turn for what? My turn to do what? Secondly, it was a dog?
It was a bird.
Yeah, I don't know why I said a dog when he literally said squawking. The bird being drowned made my mouth drop.
Yo. Like, bro, you can fly. Why are you down there?
I would have... This man said 18 months. Sir, if you don't get the fuck out of there and be homeless and live in a box.
That's crazy to me. How did you live there for 18 months after you almost killed your bird?
I would have literally been on my friend's couch because ain't no way.
Bro, I would have took the first boat back to wherever I came from that led me to come to Australia because...
I literally screamed because I was like, my turn to do what? What do you mean?
No, what kills me is him calling the landlord and her being like, oh, you heard the whispering too?
Like, excuse me? You knew about this?
Why wasn't this in the advertisement, ma'am?
You told me there was no other tenants here. Clearly, there's a miscommunication by what tenant means.
Right. Oh, my God. Not the current tenants wanting to talk to him, too.
I'd be like, girl, baby girl, I've been living peacefully. That is your problem.
And what's funny is that in horror movies, I'm always like, when the character is like going through something in a house and they're like, we should contact the previous owners. I'm like, yeah, good idea. But now I'm like, leave them alone. Because they're not going to be about this anymore.
They have moved on. It's like, yo, you know those scenes too? In horror, there's always like they contact the previous owners or tenants. Or it'll be like, they'll go to a prison and speak to the person who went crazy and on a rampage, and the person will literally start screaming because you mentioned it.
That's literally Smile. That's why I have to see it.
In the movie Smile, they have people like, you know, smiling very crazy, like unnaturally, right? In the movie. So as a marketing thing, they have people standing randomly at like a baseball game and standing up and smiling at the camera unnaturally, and the crowd is looking at them like they're fucking crazy. But I feel like for me, you gotta be paying me some bank to do that because I look ridiculous.
It better be for 1 hour, and that 1 hour I better be getting paid like 10 grand.
Right? I'm like, it cannot be no hundred something dollars. Like, I will literally, no, I'm not doing it. You have to be paying me some, pay me to look stupid. Like, the money gotta make sense for how stupid I look.
Right, because I can make myself look stupid for free, but I do that on my own time. I need the dough.
It was so funny.
Why would y'all do this? Y'all didn't learn from the Killer Clown thing? Like,
oh my God, remember that was a thing when they were like just clowns showing up randomly?
Purposely dress up as clowns and stand in front of people's Ring doorbell cameras and be crazy. Like, there was literally a video of a guy going on somebody's porch and like knocking their porch set over.
Wasn't that 2020? That was a time. What were we going through?
I don't think it was 20. Maybe it was.
I'm trying to, hold on, let me see. 2016.
Yes, there you go. I was like 2018 or 2016, somewhere in there. That was so corny. And then it went wrong, because of course it was going to. You gave people a reason to wear a completely different costume and do whatever they wanted. Anyway.
But, yeah, those horror stories were good. Especially that last one. That last one was just off the wall.
I'm glad dude made out of there without anything happening. Because, like, it could have got so much worse. The way they're dragging stuff across the attic, I thought it was going to turn into a whole thing. Like, he's going to find out what's up there and go up there. But it was just, all right, bird almost drowned. 18 months. And then he left.
I gotta finish this lease.
And you know, some people complain that, because a lot of places in a lot of historical places or whatever in America are like torn down and built over. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in other countries, they have, like, in that particular story, they had a building there from the 1930s. Like, that building shouldn't even exist. And this is the reason why. because y'all have these old castles, they all have these old farms or whatever that house these spirits that have been there since the 1800s. Y'all need to burn some of that stuff down and pave over it.
Burn that shit to the ground.
The spirits need to be released and move on because they've been there way too long. If they're sitting right there parading, talking about it's your turn. Oh, no.
It ain't my turn because my next turn about to be out this door.
This isn't the kind of history you want to preserve.
Right. Like, oh, a bunch of people have been murdered here. Why are we still open? Why are we still open? But that's it from us. Yeah, please stay safe on Halloween. Enjoy your day, enjoy your night, whatever shenanigans you got into over the weekend. I hope your hangover is gone.
But and don't answer the door for nobody. If you didn't invite nobody, and if somebody else in your household isn't expecting anybody, do not answer the door.
I would hope they know that now, because Jesus. But stay safe. I don't know if you can really say stay indoors here.
True.
Definitely still don't leave your foot off the bed.